Hello, everyone. Today I have a special episode. I have a dear friend of mine. His name is Colton. And we kind of dive in a little bit more of personal development and really our path in the personal development world. This is a very special episode for me just because I've been in the path of a skeptical in the personal development. If you're listening, you probably may or may not have encounter with what resonate and what doesn't re resonate with you. We all need personal development. I love personal development. There's a reason why I'm here, and it's the reason why I created this podcast. But I take it a little bit farther than that. I fell in love with the project of developing and growing yourself. And the reason why I created this was to kind of really show you the science behind it, the logical behind it. So if you're skeptical or you have kind of been between, find something that I just feel like I'm not getting what you're getting. Know that personal development is a huge path and it's a lot more farther into that. With that being said, this episode really focuses in more of how to understand your journey in personal development. My journey has been different than Colton's, and that's why I wanted to bring him on and share the path that he's taken. You probably read a couple books, or you probably kind of seen the fluff around that, or the things that you may heard and you just don't resonate with. We all gone through that. But know that the journey that we go through, it's a lot far deeper. And that's why we're here. And that's why I created this, so that we can resonate in a bigger picture and you guys can really find your own path in personal development. So for all of you, my friends that are skeptical or have questioned personal development, this is the episode for you. And more than that, if you resonate with him or you resonate with some of the things that you may have encountered with your personal development journey, towards the end, I'll give you some of the tactical points of how to overcome and how to continue in the journey of personal development and how to really nail down your experience and your own path. So let's get to it. Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome to the Mind Paradox, where we will talk about why thoughts are only 10% of the work and discuss the science behind the other 90%. Get ready to meet the higher version of you. Welcome everyone, and thank you for being here in the Mind Paradox podcast. I have today with you guys a special friend that have decided to come and join today in this episode, and we're going to talk about a little bit of really what is and what is not personal development. This is a good friend of mine that since the beginning from just kind of give me a different perspective of what I have learned in the personal development world and what truly is being diving into who you are and discovering your own path and your own. So, with further ado, I have here my friend Colton.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me
Thanks for
today.
asking me. I didn't think you would actually ask me to be on your show, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank
So I really want to share and open the space to talk about really your process of personal development
you.
more than anything. I think one thing that really got me motivated more than anything is the fact of how you have discovered your own way to personal development. And not just only personal development, but like what makes you happy, what makes you succeed your goals. And I think like how I focus in what I'm passionate about is teaching people about mind, teaching people about how to use their mindset and how to develop in their own way. And basically stop listening to all the crap that's out there that it's all about like, oh, you gotta do this and do that and blah, 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 blah. And I think you have a really good perspective of how truly that works. And let's hear your side of personal development first.
I think, well, the big thing for me that I noticed was I think being in a couple different universes at the same time was really what was it, for me, like I said, for me in my life was able to connect the dots for me in a way that I was like, wait a minute. You have that questioning thing like, should I actually be doing this? And I think, as silly as it is, being in personal development and then also being a part of sales, I've been doing sales since I was 16, those universes tend to merge a lot more than I would actually think. And so it ended up being the point, and I'll get into this, but it basically got to the point where I was reading some, personal development books that everyone had already, kind of been talking about, like, in just like that community. that they had been talking about, that they had been reading, that they had been looking into, and then I would read them, and I just started noticing things about the books, like that they were very familiar to sales training books that I had read before, and that they were also like being, you know, just having that conversation with myself at the very end of reading the book and just being honest about, I didn't think that was very good or insightful at all, but like, you know, just ask, like, the first step, at least for me, was asking questions. And so being like, well, how come I didn't like it? Why didn't I like this? Why didn't this resonate with me? And why this and why that? But why was I so excited? And why does it work well for other people? And that's, I mean, that's initially like where kind of everything starts, right? Is you have those questions, like with anything, right? You just, well, why? Right? You got to be like a toddler. Why? You know, we're going to the store. Why? Because we need groceries. Why? You know?
Let me tell you why.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like that's how the questioning really started. But I guess like more specifically, just to give backstory, when I first got into personal development, it was because of sales. So I was the Well, I mean, I guess I've always had that innate desire to be good at something. Even when I was a kid, no matter what I did, I always wanted to be good at what, you know, at something. And I always grew up playing sports and things like that, and that was really fun. But I always hated kind of like being on a team. Well, I'm not a team player. That's not what I'm saying. But like,
Sometimes.
it would get to the point where, you know. People that were really good on my teams growing up, I just always felt like I was really aware. Like we'd play, I'd play basketball, and the coach would get all upset and yell and scream and swear, and there'd be like another kid that was, you know, we're all 10, and he's like the number one kid. And he'd talk about how he was the MVP and stuff, and I was always really aware from a young age. And I remember being like, "Yo, we're 10. Like this doesn't matter. We're 10." And I'm not saying, you know, I had a negative attitude about it, but I always knew that I was 10 years old and I was supposed to play basketball with my friends and have fun and say good game, like no matter if we won or lost. Like I just didn't care. I just wanted to play basketball with my friends like I do at recess during the summertime or during the school year or whatever.
I think you have a good point because that's when a lot of pressure gets built in. And like you're 10, you should be just to have fun and enjoy the time rather than be like, you gotta win, you gotta learn how to win and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, I mean, I played soccer growing up, so I understand where you're coming from, but for me it was a little bit different because my mom like motivated me in a different aspect of like, you know what you like. If you don't like it, don't do it. But you also have a good point. Like one things that I learned when it comes to sales is the asking why. I'm like, we don't ask ourselves enough questions. Like we ask everybody else's. But not ourselves. And I think you have a good point bringing that up really quick. Asking ourselves enough questions of like, well, why do I have to follow this? Why do I want to do this? Why do I have to read this book? I think that's a lot of like one of the things that we have kind of taken out of the question and out of the picture for our own growth. Because I think we follow so much to the aspect of like what other person is saying and what other person is thinking and like what other person has done and has worked for them. Rather than being like, but why would that work for me?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean that was like the big thing for me too. So, I mean, fast forward a little bit. So I was always, like I said, really aware. And going to high school, I always wanted to be good at something, decided it wasn't sport, didn't know what, right? And decided that and like things just kind of happen, asking yourself like questions in high school. Well, what do I like? Like what are things that I like doing that I could make money doing that are just they're fun to me, like I would do them anyways. And I hate the question of, 'cause people ask me all the time, would you rather do what you love and make no money or do what you hate and make tons of money? That is to me like the stupidest question, 'cause I 1000% I don't want to do either. I don't want to make a lot of money and be miserable doing what I'm doing. And I also know myself well enough that I don't want to be miserable, you know, being an artist, 'cause I'm not an artist either, right? Like I don't want to be some sort of purist artist. To me, that's just such uppity like bullshit, and that's such a dumb question. Like I 1000% want to make money and do what I want to do. So then in high school I was like, okay, well I love movies, I love film. That's a whole different podcast for another time that could go on for 10 hours. And so I got into film class and I did all that stuff, and when I asked myself those questions, dove into what I love, I just immediately excelled. I was winning film festivals. I've won tons of awards for being like best director, writing, stuff like that. Like it's just, It's just where I excel, right?
Right.
And that was kind of the same thing with personal development, right? Is I'm doing sales. I was working at the mall. I got a job at PacSun, and I was just, and it, I felt like to other people, which is fine. It's threatening and it comes across as like cockiness, but I never thought like I'm so great. I think to me, like ego and cockiness is saying I'm more awesome than that person over there. Whereas confidence is, I think that I'm awesome, and the conversation with yourself kind of ends there. And, but it's really hard for others, I feel like, at least in my experience, to really understand where I'm coming from. Cause I'll be like, oh yeah, like I did really great this month and I got paid a lot of money, and people are like, oh, he's so, and it's like, well,
yeah,
I didn't mean it in a way like I got paid more money than you, you know, I just did better than I did. Right. And, so anyways, I was working at the mall, and first job I had ever had, I walked in and I said, I'd never, well, the job I had the summer before was like building fences, you know, so, right. Yeah. And so, and that's what, that's the same thing I knew. I worked all summer building fences, chain link fences out on an airport runway and, out on the blacktop, and I got heat stroke, and it was the worst thing ever. And I remember I promised myself, when the summer was over and I went back to school for my senior year, I was like, I will never work a manual labor job ever again. Like, I am so much like smarter than this, right? I can learn to make money doing something else. So I decided to get into sales. So I walked into PacSun. Hey, are you guys hiring? Yeah, we are. And I said, okay, you guys hiring for any management positions? And she asked what kind of experience I had. And so I was like, well, I don't have any. I have no experience, but I know that I can do it. And I remember she, like, the manager, they were like, gawfed at me, right? Okay, well, I've got a sales position available. When can you start? And I said, when do you need somebody? And she goes, tomorrow. And I said, okay, I'll be here tomorrow. You know, TLDR, too long, don't read, right? So what ended up happening was my first 3 months, I was promoted to a sales lead, which means I just kind of like run the sales team while I'm on shift. 6 months after that, I was an assistant manager. I was only 18 at the time. I think it was right before my 19th birthday, and I was the youngest store manager that PacSun had ever had, ever. And they were also considering me for a store management position too, and I think I had just turned 19, and they wanted me to run a store. And it was just, so that's kind of like I said, that confidence of believing that I could do it, but I never thought, like, you know, I'm better than everybody, or right. It was more of a confidence. Like, I know I'm capable of doing this, so I'm just going to do it. It was never like stepping on people on my way there or anything. Like, I just showed up to work, gave it 100%, and I got rewarded for it. You know, it worked out for me.
Right. And I think that's, you bring in a good point, because it goes of like how we see ego and how we see like the cockiness in front of everybody. Right. It's a huge difference how we receive it as a person.
Yeah.
Because you could be having the greatest month, you could be making money, and I could be seen as like, oh yeah, he's cocky. Or in a way that I could be seen as in like, oh, like, he's motivated. Like, what is he doing?
Right.
And I think, I mean, you brought in a good point that I kind of want to dive in a little bit more.
Yeah.
You mentioned more of like when you started doing like your videos, and I know you also do photography and you're really good at it. But in our previous conversations, we talked about how you found like your favorite authors and your favorite, what's it called?
What, like,
you're
directors?
Like, directors, yeah. Thank you. Your favorite director is how you found the more motivated, when you found more of like the little golden nuggets rather than reading a book about someone that is just in the field of personal development. And I think that's what we missed out on, the perfect of like, if you have a field that you're so passionate about, like, how do you find that more motivated?
Well, actually, I think the real conversation to be had, or at least the reason I'm so passionate about personal development, like, and I'll get into why I say it like that, like personal development, is there are a lot of people. So there's usually two kinds of people. There's usually people like me that found something that they love when they were younger, and they love it with all their heart, and it makes them happy, and they pursue it, and they would do it for free if they had to. I don't want to, because that's a lie, you know, but they would, like, and then, and it's tried and true. When I was a kid, I would watch movies. I used to watch the behind the scenes, and that's how I discovered film, was on accident, actually. Like, I always loved movies, but when DVDs first started coming out in the early 2000s, for my birthday or Christmas or something, somebody had bought me Jurassic Park 2, so The Lost World, and it was the two-disc special edition, mm-hmm. and I didn't know, like, what that was, right? So I remember opening it, seeing that there were two DVDs in there, and I put one of them in because I wanted to watch the movie, and it was the behind-the-scenes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's how I realized, like, that's the exact moment that I was, like, hooked. It's not, I hear people all the time, I knew that I wanted to be a director when I was 3 or 4. You shut up. No, you didn't.
Come on.
No, you didn't. Yeah. But that was the moment that I knew that there was something special, that I loved movies, right? Mm-hmm. And so the next thing you know, I went and, like, ransacked our movie closet and found any two-disc special edition that I could find, and I just watched those, like, over and over and over, all the behind the scenes and stuff. So I was very fortunate that I found something. The part where I get the most, like, passionate, and sometimes in a positive way and a negative way, towards personal development is for those people that don't have things like that. And I think it has to do with age, for one. Typically, from what I have noticed, people that are usually around, like, our age, right, like in their mid-20s, like 25 to, like, early 30s, usually have some sort of something that they did when they were a kid. I think some people that are younger, it's pretty generalized, right? Mm-hmm. They don't really have a whole lot of stuff like that, because I think a lot of, like, technology was really around. So when I was a kid, my parents couldn't just stick an iPad in front of me to keep me busy. Like,
yeah.
They'd yell at me and tell me to go outside. Like,
go do something.
Get the hell out of here. Go get on your bike. Go get in trouble. Go play in the street. I don't care.
Yeah.
And so when you would go out, you just get so bored, you had to come up with something to do. So when I was a kid, I used to make my own board games because, well, one, we didn't grow up very, like, we had, like, no money. So if I wanted to be like, hey, can I go to the store and buy a board game? My parents would be like, yeah, no.
Save up your money.
Yeah. And so I would make stuff. I'd make my own games. Like, I would grab a piece of wood and I would get a can of spray paint from my dad's garage, which he would then later yell at me for because I used all of his spray paint. And I used to spray paint these boards to have stuff. And I would make games and I'd play with rocks and I'd write down the rules and just what. But of course, I was the kid. I'd write the rules so that, like, I knew them and nobody else knew them, so I just, like, win all the time.
That's what you're supposed to be doing.
I know, yeah. Anyways. But then there's that the second type of person that just, they don't know, right? And that's what makes that stuff so hard. And I think that genuinely makes life for people significantly more difficult. And it could be, and it changes over time. I ended up finding something like movies that I love, and I want to pursue movies and photography. Like, I'm going to do those things no matter what. And for some people, that's not the case, and that's okay, but they have similar feelings towards other things like, you know, raising a family or being a mom or, you know, like, coaching a football team at their old high school. Like, whatever it is, like, there's some, like, and it can be doing a podcast, right? Like, there's something out there that makes somebody feel the same way that I feel when I think about that stuff. And the whole idea of personal development, at least now, the way it's talked about to other people is to find whatever that thing is, right? Like, whatever that purpose is. And that's where I get really, like I said, passionate and frustrated, is because a lot of, in my opinion, the direction and the stuff that we read, like, the advice that it's giving, it just, it's why it's not. Like, I just feel like it's not, because I fell into the trap of, you know, well, I want to be a better person. How I got into it, like I said, was from sales. So when I worked at PacSun, I had an assistant manager, and I said, I want to be like you. I want to be just like you. How do I be just like you? You know, how do I be, you know, me?
Yeah.
But just like you, like, have your position, your pay, your whatever. And he gave me a book, and he was like, I want you to read this book. And I had literally never in my entire life, 19 years old, maybe, or 18 years old, never in my entire life have I ever read a book cover to cover, ever. And he was like, you need to read this book. And I remember being like, oh,
what book was it? You remember doing it?
Yeah. And so I remember being like, oh, dude, are you really, like,
you're making me read.
I wanted to throw up because I hated reading. And he was like, I promise you, like, you need to read this book. And it was called, I don't remember who it's by, but it's called The Little Red Book of Selling.
Oh, yeah.
So it's called The Little Red Book of Selling. And so he gave it to me. And what was cool is he gave me his marked up copy that he had written in and highlighted and stuff like that. And I
Yeah.
still have it, actually.
It's a great
I
book,
never
yeah.
gave it back to him because he moved. Adam, if you're listening to this, I'm not giving you your book back. But so he gave it to me, and I went home. But like that's the thing is I was so committed to being better and committed to becoming an assistant manager. One, because like the store manager there didn't think I could do it. Two, my parents weren't super supportive. I remember my dad was really like really. Well, at the time, like now hindsight's 2020, I feel at the time it just made me really angry. But I remember telling them, you know, they're like, "So what are you gonna do now that you're graduated?" And they wanted me to go to college, and I just knew that college wasn't right for me. I didn't hate school. I didn't want to go. I didn't hate learning, but I just kind of knew. Like I said, I've always been really aware. So I just told myself, "Well, I don't want to go to school because I don't even know what I'm gonna do or what I'm doing. All I know, like, I'm just gonna waste my time and my money, and I'm gonna be upset with myself in 4 years when I still don't know like what the hell I'm doing." So I didn't want to go, and I was like, "Well, I want to get a job at the mall because I love the mall and I love clothes and stuff like that, and like style. And I want to be a store manager." And I remember my dad telling me like specifically that that wasn't a real job and that it's never gonna pay me any money and good luck and that's no, you know, and just a teeny weeny, he called it a teeny weeny scene bopper job or something like that because it wasn't a real job because my dad works hard out in the sun and. Like I
That's not a
said,
manly
yeah,
job.
exactly, you know, and because I was always into style and he hated it. And so they always told me, like, so there was two things. One, I just knew that I wanted to not, well, three things. Didn't want to work manual labor. Two, I wanted to be great at whatever it is that I did. And three, like, I wanted to prove my parents wrong and I wanted to do something that I could do. And that was a big motivator for me was, you can't do this. And I was like, okay.
Let me show you.
Yeah,
I'll
right? I'm
prove
like,
you.
I'll do it. And then it ended up one of those being those things where I'm over that now that I'm older, but definitely I would say until I was like 23, everything I did was, ha! I
See?
did that. Yeah, right. And then now that I'm older, I have those habits of like doing things and it doesn't affect me the same way. So now if I do it, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know. So that was like a big thing for me into why I wanted to like work harder towards these things, you know, but I still knew because at the time, like I did all of the film stuff in high school, but at that time, I didn't. When I graduated high school, I remember thinking, like, oh, that was really fun, and I'm really glad I did that. Well, now it's time to be an adult and get a real job and do whatever. And so when I was working at PacSun, my goal was to actually become a district manager, and then I wanted to work up, but like my dream for the longest time was to, work for PacSun at the corporate office in California and like have a six-figure salary, work at the office. But it was different because it wasn't like an office job where you sit there and you wear a shirt and a tie and you type at your computer, like where people are like, escape the corporate life. Like we can all agree that working for a clothing company at the corporate level would be super fun. You know, it's totally different. It's totally different. So I was really into that. And then I ended up getting this roommate that I lived with, you know, and I didn't make a lot of money. I think I made
The
$12.50 an
starting,
hour. But when I was like 19, I was like, dude, I am rolling in
That's
it. So I was
money.
looking through my journal a couple nights ago. I don't know, it was maybe like a week or two ago. And I was reading through 2000, it was about 2013, 2014 when that happened. I was reading through and I remember I wrote in there like, man, if I could just make $1,400 a month, like I would have so
Like
much money.
I'm on my
Yeah,
way.
I know. I was like, I would have so much money. And now like my paychecks are bigger than $1,400. I'm like, oh, I don't have any money. Like, you
If
know.
I could make two more
Yeah,
grand.
I know, dude. Yeah, that's just the way that it is. But that's how it all started. I ended up getting this roommate that I lived with. We lived in low-income housing. Like, but I, like I said, I never told anybody I lived in low-income housing. I was like, I got my own place. You know, right? So I had an apartment. Yeah, I had
You
a.
only tell people what they want to know.
And I had a car. I had a car payment too. So I had a 1998 Honda Civic that my parents bought for $1,000 from one of my dad's friends. And it had like 280,000 miles on it or something. And they paid $1,000 for it. And then they gave it to me for graduation. Like they were like, hey, this is your first car, right? And I was really excited. And that thing, I named it Betty White. And it was the cleanest piece of shit you'd ever seen in your life. Like I was not embarrassed to drive that car because I kept it so clean. And that's one thing that like I would kind of get off on, right? People would be like, oh, your car is like old and like a total POS, but it's so nice and clean.
It's so clean.
It's all polished. And I was like, hell yeah. But this is like, this is just kind of shows you what my parents did. So they bought it for $1,000. And then like 6 months later, I don't know what the situation was, but I imagine they needed some money for something. They forced me. They literally forced me. They forced me to go to the bank with them and buy it from them on a loan for $2,000.
You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And I remember telling them like, why am I doing this? And they were like, we're teaching you a lesson on how to like manage your finances and stuff. And like I said, I've always been aware. And when I was like 16 or 17 when that happened, I was like, bullshit. Y'all liars, right?
You're making me pay for this.
Yeah, I knew, dude. I freaking knew. So anyways, I had my own place and everything. And then my roommate, he used to work for a video game company working on the largest video game in the world at the time. I don't know if it still is, but he worked there. He quit to pursue his dream of like making a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm into comics, right? I started like hanging out with him while like I'd come home. Hey, what are you up to? You know, I'm drawing, like whatever. And we slowly like got closer. Then he started asking me for advice. And I had always been really good at classes like English and things. Like I definitely think where I shine, because there's the technicality of the film universe of like knowing the cameras and things. And genuinely, I think that's why I'm a good photographer, is I just know how to use the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think it has anything to do with like my vision, right? Because that changes all the time, and the things that you're interested in and the things that look good to you and whatever. Mm-hmm. But there are things that, like when I bought my $5,000 camera, I became a better photographer. You know what I mean? Like
it's just a different perspective of seeing things.
Yeah, it's like having a car with more horsepower. You win more races. Right. You know, and so it's one of those things where you don't really need to be a photographer when people are like, oh, like I'm not very good. And it's like, well, you're using your phone or you're using a $200 camera. Like you're limited to your stuff. Like same thing when I played the guitar, I had like a $300 guitar and I thought I was pretty good. And then 100% when I got my $1,500 guitar, I became a better guitar player because it was better. Like I could slide my hand up and down the neck faster. So that also comes into play of why I'm so passionate. Like the tools that you use, just like personal development, the books and things like that you use, like the tools that you use make you a better person. Anyways, got really into the comic with him. I love comics. Let me help you write this, because I had always excelled at like English and writing and stuff. And I think that's where, like I said, my strong point in film is story, because I've always been into that. And I've always been the storyteller too, like at work or if anything, right? If anything happens, it's always like, so the craziest thing happened, Colton, you tell it, right? Like I've just always been that just enthusiasm. But so I got into that, and then over the next like 2 years, I ended up taking less time working at PacSun and spending significantly more time like making like YouTube documentary type videos for the comic, writing the comic, traveling and promoting the comic. Like, and then it became one of those things where I had that epiphany of, oh, like people can do this and make money and make
this
like,
is a thing?
Yeah. And make like really good money. Like cause I didn't know, I had no idea. So get into that. And that's kind of what hooked me back on the film train of like, I wonder if I can make movies and make money.
What?
Right? Like it just, yeah, I know. I just never, well, it never, you know, never crossed my mind because no one ever talked about it. It was like, oh yeah, those people make movies or those are celebrities. But when I saw actors and things like that, I never attached like money to it. It's like, oh yeah, celebrities just live in big houses. Like that's just the way it was. Like that's just what they do.
Like celebrities just make movies and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's the life right there. If I could have, you know, a Ferrari, a big house and be an actor and not get paid any money, I'd do it.
Yeah. You know? Like,
or like I'd still do it.
The scenes are like, oh, if you can spend the night at this house with no internet or nothing, it's like, sure. Yeah, of course I'll do it.
Yeah. So anyways, that's like where it kind of came for me. So then when I ended up parting ways with PacSun, I ended up getting a job at the at a Audi Porsche dealership as their photographer, like media person. So I was like making videos and little highlight clips and things like on Facebook, and I was taking photos of all their cars and stuff like that. And then that, you know, is kind of what rolled into it. But that's a little bit of, I guess, like my journey and the things that I've done and that, you know, I've worked towards. And so it ended up being like getting hooked on and this is, I guess this is a good segue, hooked back on film and photography and knowing like, okay, I can make money doing this. People do make money doing this. What is the process like? And I had already learned from sales, right? My personal development stuff with sales, that odds are if I have questions, like there is somebody out there that has written a book about it. Or, you know, like odds are I'm not the only person on the planet that has this problem or has this question. Right. Like, how do I make money doing this thing or doing that? So this, keep in mind, this is probably like 3 or 4 years after I had gotten that book from Adam. So I'd read tons of sales books and things. So I was pretty familiar with, right, the art of selling something to somebody. And so I was, okay, so started pursuing film. But I couldn't really find like a whole lot of books on film. That's definitely – so that was kind of like red flag number one, is I just remember thinking, okay, there's all these books about how to be better at life, but there's nothing really specific for me. So I just kind of took what I had, right? Because this was a while ago. So I would say even then, and not in a hipster way, but when I started doing personal development, I was 17, so I was about – almost 10 years ago, and it just wasn't a thing. Like, it just wasn't, wasn't a thing. It wasn't popular. Like, occasionally you had or saw people that were doing personal development that were really into fitness or that ran a bit, but nobody really like talked about it. I definitely think in most recent years, it's like, it's a trendy thing now. Like, if you don't do personal development, like, what are you doing, bro?
Right.
You know what I mean? The reason I was so passionate about it before is the word personal development.
Yes.
Okay. Like, my roommate taught me this when we were working on the comic together. I remember being in all of these classes that were like, you need to wake up early. So I was getting up early. Didn't know why. But I was told to do it, right? I didn't know why.
I'm not sleeping. You have to wake up early.
Yeah. So I would wake up early because this book or this class or this course told me to. And then I would just go like sit in my front room.
Know what?
And do nothing and be like, okay, well, yeah, now what? Like, that's where the problem was, is that this is what we're going to get into here. That's where the problem is with modern personal development, is people get told to do things and they don't ask why.
Like, why do we follow? Like, if you told me to do something, it's like, why? Like, I think this is a bit where the big problem is, because if social media is saying this person has so many followers and they came out with this book, all of a sudden they think they're like,
it's some sort of validity, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, they're so good at what they do, I'm just gonna follow what they did in the past, and they're just gonna start following that person. We've become followers rather than saying, well, why would that be better for me, right? Like, when I became NLP certified, I knew it was something, like neuro-linguistic programming. It's a type of teaching that literally teaches you in the way that it's about who
like
you
about
are.
Yourself, yeah.
About, it's a manual to your own brain. It's a manual to how you think and how you do process. And it's completely different from telling you like, hey, there's the 5 steps of how to achieve, you know, success, because it has nothing to do with that in the first place. And we have dived like ourselves into, oh, well, this person has more followers, they're in social media and blah, 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 and this had this book, I'm going to follow them instead.
Well, I think the big thing too, where people fall short, is they just say to themselves, I want to be successful. And then they just start reading books on how to be successful, but they don't have any sort of clear like
what
path.
Is.
So that's the big thing too, is being able to say, these are the things that I personally identify with as successful. And it could be, it doesn't need to be millions of dollars, nice cars, like wearing a suit, having a corporate job. There are some people that, like I said, get passionate about like wanting to have children and, or, you know, like
family,
things like that. But that's the other part of the problem too, is that as a whole, that is not successful. You know what I mean? So they get pressured into, oh, well, I'm just a regular old mom or a regular, you know, person, accountant or something like that. You know what
and
I mean?
And I think it's like one thing that I've learned, it's that the state of mind that we create, the things that we want, right? And I think More than anything, because we have seen, especially right nowadays, we see that if you're successful, if you have the nice things, the shiny things, right? And as soon as that goes away, there's the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. When reality is just like what you have it was, now, you have that credibility for yourself.
I think it was 2017. The study came out in 2018, but they did, I don't know who they is, but somebody, I remember seeing this, they did a nationwide survey in the United States of the most desirable job. And the number one most desirable job in the entire country is some form of social media influencer.
Right.
Whatever it is, YouTuber, Instagrammer, TikTok, I don't think TikTok was around, Vine, like whatever it was, that was the most desirable job. And I think a lot of that has to do with that's how we, as a modern society, 2016 or so and newer, that's how we have defined success. Like that's how, you know, that's what the world defines as success. And it's getting to the point where I have a former boss of mine. There's like some things I left out, but that I, like, I worked at a few places temporarily and he was so, and still is so desperate to be like a social media influencer that he's bought, he's purchased hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. He's got like 200,000 followers, but his posts get like 18 likes, you know,
you're like, are you
on a
sure?
good day, it's like 40.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, everyone knows, and he's got a podcast where he talks about success and stuff like that. And it's just the, literally, and I'm not trying to be mean or like talk shit. Like, it's sometimes it's incoherent to me. Like, there's sometimes I listen to, like, or well, when I worked there, we were required as a company. If anytime he put out a podcast, we were required
to listen to it.
And my district manager would call me and be like, hey, what did you think? And I would tell him, like, I think it's shit. I think it's trash. It's garbage. Nothing he said is relevant to anything. In my life. Actually, I think that's, I didn't realize that. That job was probably the point where I started to really question a lot of this stuff. Cause that's when he cause he forced us to watch these motivational podcasts and listen to things and read tons of books cause he wanted us to be better salesmen. And I ended up being like, but this book is garbage. You need to read it anyways, because it's one of the blah, blah, blah. Same thing with me. Like, and this is just me. Like, this is what I'm talking about, personal development, right? Is I remember everyone talked about how good How to Win Friends and Influence People, the, like, how good that book is. And I read the whole book and I was like, that wasn't that good. Like, there are some people that it is relevant to them. But I was like, it's one of those things like how to make friends, right? Be interested in people. It's like, no
shit.
Make
people laugh. Like,
yeah,
well,
no shit. It's one of those, like, it just made me so mad because it's like, you know, every podcast I've ever listened to about personal development is some like middle-aged dude with a beard and a hat on with his headphones screaming into the mic and just being like, if you want to fucking make it, like, you just got to quit being a bitch and just go out there and fucking do it. Right. And people would be like, oh, God, this podcast is
like,
so good.
True.
Like, oh, God, like, dude, I'm fucking woke, bro. And people would tell me. And I remember talking to my district manager, and he's like, how good was that podcast? I was like, that was fucking dumb. That I just I wasted 40 minutes of my day listening to this person scream into the mic profanities.
I'm never going
to
get
back. Yeah, profanities into the microphone about not being a bitch. And he's like, well, maybe it's the perfect podcast for you, you know, whatever. And I was like, but I didn't learn anything. Like, I don't think I'm going to go sell computers by, like, you know, like, cause that's what I did. I sold computers. Like customized desktops. Like, I don't think a customer is going to come in and I'm going to pitch them and they're going to be like, no, I'm going to have to think about it. Listen, I'm not a bitch anymore, so I need you to buy this. Like, you know,
like how am I supposed to say that to my customers?
Yeah, well, it's like I didn't learn anything. And he's like, oh, it's all about attitude. And it's like, you know, customers going to go, fuck yeah, bro. Like,
this computer, let's buy this right now.
Yeah, this computer. Holy shit. You know, like, and it's just, that's like, that's exactly what it is. Like, personal development is a big hype train right now. Like, everything is all about the hype.
Yeah.
So I was at the pool one time and, you know, I was at the hot tub. So I'm like laying at the hot tub and I'm reading one of my favorite books, which is funny because I'm about to talk shit on books like this, is You're a Badass by Jen Sincero. So,
I like the one where she talks about making money.
Yeah,
that's
so that
good
one's
book.
Good. So I like that book because anytime I also read personal development books, what I've noticed is they always start off by making you feel terrible. Mm-hmm. Personal development books always start that way. They always start with, oh, I bet you thought you were happy. Well, guess what? You're not, because because you don't X, Y, and Z. Because there would be times where I'd be like, man, I feel so good. I feel great. Life is good. I'm so happy. I want to continue to grow. I'm going to read this book. So then I would read the book, and then I would just, I remember being like, oh God, like I feel terrible, right. Like, right?
I'm nowhere.
So it's one of those things where like the books tell you that, where it's like, if you don't, then you will whatever it is. And most personal development books do that. And they just make you feel terrible. So what they do is they bring you down like the first half of the book. And then the second half, they build you back up on how you can be better. But then when you finish the book, you feel good. You're like, oh man, I feel so good. Right? I'm so woke after reading that book. But all
enlightenment.
But all that really happened was this. You started out at this level. You dipped down to this level. And then by the end of the book, you're back to your normal.
I'm going
to
do this.
Yeah, you're back to your normal level again. Mm-hmm. Like I've already felt like, oh man, I can do anything that I want. Like I'm super positive. I can do anything. Mm-hmm. Well, I already felt that way.
Right.
And I just feel that way again. And none of this information was relevant to me, like, whatsoever.
Well, I think that's for me specifically. So about 2 years ago, I decided that I really wanted to, what I have learned, to put it out in a way that is like, I'm not here to coach you. I'm not here to tell you what to do or what not to do. Mm-hmm. This is what I have learn in the psychology way, in the in the philosophy way of like why the science aspect of why personal development works, and not just for, you know, like by my training and by my coachings or anything like that, but for me, like 2 years ago when I decided, I was like, I really want to, you know, create the platform where people can just listen to really what the science behind it and everything. And I think that's what when I first, I remember getting together with a friend. And he's like, yeah, I think you should really start a podcast. And this was 2 years ago. It took me 2 years ago to really nail, like, dive in into how I wanted to do this podcast to work specifically. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't for me to just, like, I've listened to other people and I, like, read other people and I've seen YouTube videos. And it seemed the same shit. It was the same about, like, wake up early and do this and go running and blah, 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 blah. But it was like, but you're not giving me what I'm looking for.
Exactly.
And even the books that I read now, like I've stopped reading books in personal development. Like I read books in psychology. I read books in brain and like thick, thick ass books that really teach you completely
But here's
different.
The thing. You're able, you love those books and you're able to read them cover to cover, right?
Exactly.
And so that's the other thing that I was going to say too, is that I would force myself to read personal development books because that's what you did, right?
Exactly.
That's what the community does. When you're into personal development, that's what you do. You go to Barnes and Noble, you ransack the shelf for any personal development book with a curse word in it, and you read it, and then you post it on Instagram and talk about how woke you are and how you're going through some personal journey that unfortunately no one gives a shit about. And I'm not saying that in a mean way. What the thing that has brought me the most peace in my life happened a couple years ago when I was at the gym, and it just kind of happened. So I'm at the gym, I'm working out, and I'm thinking, because I used to be, I'm still pretty thin, but I was like really, so I'm tall. I was really skinny. I was like 30, 40 pounds lighter, really thin. And so I wanted to go to the gym, put on some muscle, right? I want to be good looking. What I thought was good looking. So I'm working out and I remember thinking like everyone is looking at me and thinking like I'm skinny and that I need to leave because I shouldn't be here. And they're laughing at me inside. And they're like, look at this fucking kid. But then I ended up realizing like it just hit me out of nowhere. I was like, wait a minute. If I'm thinking that, because like I said, I had developed, and I still do it, this habit of questioning things. And so I remember thinking, odds are I'm not the only person on the entire planet or in this gym full of like 200 people that is thinking, like, there's no way that I'm the only person in here that's like, everyone is looking at me.
Right.
And when I realized that, I was like, wait a minute. So, and there's a conversation with myself. I was like, so you're telling me that everyone, including myself, is probably even the people that are good looking and super buff or whatever, right? Everyone is looking at me. And I was like, so wait a minute. Nobody actually cares that I'm at the gym. Like nobody actually gives a shit that I'm here or about me. That was like, seriously, I remember being there. That was like one of the most freeing things that had ever happened to me. I remember being like, oh my God, are you serious? Like no one cares? Oh,
what?
Like no one cares except me. Yeah. And so that was a big thing for me. So anyways, personal development, reading those books. And then just to wrap up the whole reason we even want to have this podcast, when we talked at about the owner's manual type thing, is so I started doing that. And then I was like, and it was grueling too. I remember reading these books and being like, oh God, like I could barely make it like two pages before. Like in your body will do all sorts of stuff to get out of things. Like, and that's the same. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Like I haven't been going to the gym for a while. And so trying to go, like, my body will make itself sick. It'll give itself headaches. I'll get sick to my stomach. Yeah, like, and besides the excuses, like, because I'll be like, no, I'm going. Like, your body, like, your subconscious brain is a survival mechanism, and it knows that you're going to go put your body through physical pain, and it doesn't want that. Like, it will get so desperate that it'll make you sick. Mm-hmm. I remember being like, I'm literally sick to my stomach for no reason. I was fine 10 minutes ago, but now I'm on my way to the gym. My stomach hurts.
Like
your body will literally do anything to get you to stop. And that's just that. That's why we get anxious. That's why, like, when you go to ask that girl, that guy on a date, you're like, oh shit. Like, what if they throw their drink in my face? Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is what happens. But anyway, so the whole tie-in with personal development is, or at least why you asked me to have this conversation is, I had mentioned to you, right, like, let's say your life is like a car. This is basically how my life happened. You go and you buy a brand new car from the dealership. It runs like a friggin' champ, and you rip it around and you race it everywhere and you just have fun. That was like the first 20 years of my life, like from being born to 20 years old. Everything was just like go, 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 go. The car was brand new. It was fun. Like, everything was great. And then next thing you know, it's like, well, I was upkeeping on the maintenance pretty well. I turned 23, started developing some, like, bad habits, right, that were really breaking me down. And it's the same thing. I wasn't getting the oil change regularly. Mm-hmm. I stopped servicing the car when I should. And next thing you know, it's not running right. And then I'm, you know, stupid enough to be like, because everyone does this. I'm like, well, what's wrong?
Like, yeah.
I don't know what's wrong, right? Like,
and all of a sudden it started working.
Yeah, what's wrong with me? Yeah. You know, why am I so miserable or so angry or so, like, whatever? And then it gets to the point where the car breaks down. Mm-hmm. Blown engine, right? And then that's like me last year in April or May or something like that, and just being like, okay, this engine is totally busted. But then I very quickly transitioned out of it, but for a good portion there, I'd say like a good month was, that's not fair, this shouldn't happen to me, I'm a good person, like,
I deserve
exactly. And then same thing, like, I've developed this habit of questioning everything and being like, well, do I really? And so, you know, and then it ended up turning into something positive. But basically what we ended up talking about is I relate, you know, your life to a car and to an engine, right? So the engine was blown. My life was blown. Like, everything just kind of, it blew. It sucked, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. So I pulled the engine out of the car. I don't know what the hell's going on. I've never taken apart an engine before in my entire life. Nobody has, right? Mm-hmm. So you're like, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know how to fix this. I don't even know what I'm looking at here. So what people do is they do personal development. So they leave the engine there blown out on the scissor lift or the butterfly lift or the whatever it's called. Like, right, they've got that. It's just there. And they look at it and they go, all right, well, I should probably learn how to fix this, right? Mm-hmm. Personal development.
Right.
So they pick up a book that says, you can fix this motherfucking car.
And, you can fix anything.
Right, yeah, or whatever it is. And then you start reading, or we talked about specifically manuals, right? So they pick up the Audi manual for
it's
the engine.
It's in the glove box.
Right,
so the glove box. We've probably never seen it from our
vehicles. Because we've never looked at it before.
It's just
so,
there.
Yeah, so you pull it out of the glove box, you read it cover to cover, and you have no idea what it's talking about. You have no idea, like, whatever. And so you're like, oh, man. Okay, well, I'm going to keep learning. So then, like, let's say your car, you know, your life is an Audi, and you read the Audi manual on how to fix your engine cover to cover, and you're still nervous. You're looking like, I think that's that part over there. I don't really know. I'm going to keep learning. So then people make this mistake. Then next thing you know, they're reading a Mercedes manual and a Honda manual
BMW
manual and stuff like that on how to fix those engines. And it's similar, right? There's similar components. It's a combustion engine. Some have 4 cylinders, some have 6 cylinders, some have 8 cylinders, blah, blah, blah. So then they hire mentors, right? And then this is what ends up happening. What makes me so frustrated is people are like, okay, well, I've got an Audi and I want to hire a mentor to help me. So they end up hiring a Mercedes technician as their mentor, right? Mm-hmm. And this is all metaphorical. And then they're like, well, you got to fix the engine like this. And it's like, okay, well, like, that's kind of relevant, but not really. So then you wasted all this money and things like that. And so it ends up being one of those things, being able to take a massive step back for two things. One, finding the right people, like other Audi technicians and things like that, right? That know exactly like your life, or not exactly, but are more relevant to your life. And then two is being brave enough, which is hard. It took me a long time to do this. Being brave enough to grab the first tool, grab the first socket wrench, and take the first bolt off. Because the only way you're going to ever figure out what the problem is by disassembling the engine, even if you have no idea how it's going to go back together. Because that's what I realized is I was trying to get all the information first so that it could just be one quick and smooth process of take the engine apart, fix the problem, put it back together by the end of the day. You know what I mean? And that's like my quick fix solution. That's what I wanted to do out of my life, right? Is I wanted everything to be like, quick, I'm tired of being miserable. I'm going to read all these books. That way, tomorrow when I wake up, I'll be over it because I'm woke now.
And
right?
That's what, like, we want. It just seems like nowadays, like, oh, because I did this, all of a sudden I'm going to have to change. And we leave things out when it comes down to, oh, well, it's going to take me a while for me to dive in deep inside and really find out what my process is.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing. It's like you're gathering information from everybody else, but not yourself.
Totally.
And that's where the problem is. Because like for me, when I went through the path of like, you know, how do I get out of this? How do I, you know, move away from all this dark places that we put ourselves in through? Same thing with the engine. It's like, well, I need to stop listening to everybody else and listen myself. But I do need the little nuggets, and I do need the little mentors, and I do need that so that I know what direction I'm going. Because, you know, I can't work on a BMW when I'm an Audi engine. Those are two different things. I mean, in a way that, like, we're two different people. Right. We have two different mechanisms. Our brains process completely different. And that's why understanding how you develop yourself, that is the personal development, is like how you do your process. Like, sure, get the tools, but at the end of the day, you need to know where the tools go inside you.
Totally. And so that's exactly to my point, is I realized that I needed to take the engine apart, which is like my life, and look at it, even though I had no idea what was going on. I needed to take it all apart, put all the pieces out on the table, and that's when I needed to learn, and when I was the most effective at reassembling everything. But then it comes back to that thing where you're putting the engine together, and you have to have that conversation too, because if you take it apart and put it back together with factory parts, like, you'll run into the same problem because you were driving it too rough, right? Like, the engine blew for a reason, right? And so it's like, okay, well, this piece right here is what failed. I need to reinforce this or get a better part or use different oil. Like, that's what people, I think, don't understand, is that they take their life apart and then they reassemble it with the same bad habits, the same driving habits, the same this, and then the engine blows again and they don't know why. So it's like having to reassemble it to be better, right? Can you? And then that's what I've realized too, is because this is the first time truly that I've ever had to do that. So now I've realized, just like a car, it's not going to be the last time that I have to disassemble and reassemble the engine, because I might reinforce one part, but then there'll be another part of my life as I change and as I grow that will become weak and more worn on the engine. And that
more miles you
put
in.
And that will fail.
Yeah.
And I'll have to disassemble and reassemble it. Like, I'm going to have to constantly do that. But the benefit is knowing exactly how your engine comes apart and goes back together, because I guarantee you the next time I have to disassemble and reassemble my engine, it'll be faster because I'm so familiar with myself and with these things that I'm interested in. I mean, just for an example, like reading a personal development book that everyone else has read is really hard for me. Like, I can't read it. I just get bored. I'm distracted. I'm thinking about other things. I end up, because I'm into film, I end up buying an 800-page George Lucas book, and I finished that thing in like 2 weeks. I've never done that before, you know, but I learned more from that book, more life lessons, not just even film, like stuff, more life lessons about what I should and shouldn't do, how to break into the industry. I learned more by reading that one book that was relevant to the things that I was interested in and relevant to my life than I ever did in the years of trying to read personal development books of how to be better. So then next thing you know, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to try this. Next thing you know, I love Disneyland, right? I love Disney and Disneyland. That's stuff that I like. I pick up Bob Iger's book, CEO of Disney. I read that thing in a couple days and I'm going to reread it. And it's because it's so relevant to me and to the things that I'm interested in. I learned more about business and being a good leader from reading Bob Iger's book than I ever did from paying for any sort of course. And that's what the last thing I wanted to end on is that there's a lot of people that like, oh, you need mentors and things like that. One thing that I found is that if a mentor ever charges you money or a lot of money, they're usually not a good mentor and they're irrelevant, and that's their business, and they're irrelevant to what you want to do. Bob Iger's book one of the best, like, he was CEO for 15 years. He acquired Lucasfilm, Marvel Comics, like two of the largest acquisitions in business history, like ever. He did all that stuff. You can learn how he did that and how to do that. I paid like $14 for his book.
Right.
That knowledge is worth literally billions of dollars. Like all those business things that he did, billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Same thing. George Lucas is worth billions of dollars. He created Star Wars. I bought his book. I think I paid $29 for it.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge difference between of like kind of the things that you're looking and you're reading and you're getting into, where like, so one of my favorite neurologists, Oliver Sacks, right? I've read all of his books. I've only paid like $11, $12. And I learned more about.
And let's say he's got like, 10 books, $100.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Plus shipping.
One of his books, he talks about hallucinations, right? And he really dives into more than just a patient of like how truly hallucinations happen. And those are the things that like no one is really teaching you the stuff because they're like, well, you got to go to college to pay for this. And like, well, there's also mentors that have PhDs that are doctors in my field of what I like the most that I've learned that actually are relevant to what I want to learn and what I want to be able to do, because I'm the same way. And I think to just kind of get more diving into this, it goes down to really understand your process and understand more than anything. It's just like personal development goes deeper. It goes far more into that. And it's just like, it's like a black hole, basically, because a lot of people just kind of touch the surface level of like, oh, I'm only going to do this right now.
Well, they want the most linear path, which is why they try to read the personal development books or coaches or whatever.
Which is like, I want the quick fix. I want the way out of it. And I just want it. Tell me what to do. I'll do it. And I'll just get the results fast.
Well, I think about people that are amazing, like George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, like James Cameron. This stuff, if 10 years ago, this wasn't really a thing, 40 years ago, this definitely wasn't a thing.
Right.
And so them, like, why are they able to be successful, happy, doing what they love? Like, there's not, and that's the other thing too, is I think people, once they realize it's not like, once you realize it's not hard, it's easy, you know, it's like, oh, but people just complicate things too much.
Yes. We make it so crazy. It's like, oh, that's one of the things that I was kind of talking about too, that is just like, we make it so hard when it's so easy. Like the easiest thing that it just does. And like, why do we have to complicate it? We ourselves are the one that are limiting ourselves. We are the one that are putting that stop in, when in reality, it's just like,
I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and they're telling me about like their problems, and I'm like, this is way too complicated.
Yeah.
Like, let's take a big step back here. You're dating this person and you don't like the way that they treat you, right? Right. Okay, so you have two options. You tell them to knock it off and they either do or they don't. Then you have another two options. You stay and deal with it and be miserable, or you leave.
But it's very true. And I think it comes down to like more than anything, just like more into who you are as a person and what truly you want. And I think this is why I really wanted to join us today in the podcast, so that we can really understand more of your personal development.
Like, that's the note that I wanted to end on, is personal development. Yeah. And so if you do, or if you were fortunate enough like me to have something that you love, you need to stay relevant, like in your universe, stay relevant to the things that matter to you. Cause there's tons of stuff where I'm like, I don't give a shit about that. Yeah. But all of a sudden I'm reading a book about it or whatever. Like, be relevant, like truly take a step back and be relevant.
Yeah.
The other part of that too, is if you don't have that thing, right, that you are passionate about or whatever, and you're still trying to find that thing, don't blindly just start reading books and think that success is working 14 hours a day, because you might not. It's like, well, I just don't know what I'm doing, and these people say I should be doing these things to make me successful. Because what's going to happen is you're just going to feel good about doing something, right? Like, that's what you'll get your high off of, is just, oh, I'm developing, right? And you're just excited. You need to really take a step back and say, like what path you're going down. And so that's the same thing with disassembling the engine.
Yes, absolutely. No, thank you so much for coming in and kind of opening a little bit more of seeing personal development from a different perspective, and seeing personal development from a different point of view. Because it's not just about reading the books about success. It's not just about that. It's more into that. And I think we need to start asking ourselves the questions.
You should question.
Yeah.
You should absolutely question.
Taking charge part that says your personal development mm-hmm. is not just about what everybody else is saying. It's about what you are saying.
Right.
And that's like the main point. And I hope you guys have enjoyed our conversation and been able to tune in and kind of go a long way with this.
Yeah, me too. It's super random. I'm sorry. But
no. Thank you so much for being here. Stay tuned. Well, what a conversation. Colton definitely has some great points to take into consideration. If you have felt like that in the past or you've resonated with, that's why I mentioned that this episode is for you, to take out all the bluff, and we go straight to the point to show you the logic behind this. And this is why I love what I do, to give you the logic and the analytics, not just through NLP and hypnosis, but to take your preference and your studies a little bit farther on when it comes to your path in personal development. There's going to be so much out there. And if this is something that resonates with you, this is the podcast for you, because I've been in that situation, and I finally come to the conclusion, let's take out all the bluff, let's take out all the BS and really dive in into what truly matters. And that's why I wanted to bring in Colton in this episode, because you know that we've been there. It's not all about rainbows and butterflies and all the motivations. There's so much into that, and that's why I wanted to create this and share this platform in a way that it's just not about, I feel enlightenment and all of a sudden I'm going to do all these things. No, because there is actually science, there's logic, there's analytics, there's research and studies behind why personal development is so important. So if you guys resonated with this message, share it with a friend, DM me on Instagram. If you're not already following me, ali.salazar, let me know what you thought about this episode. If there's any feedback, please feel free to reach out. And then as well, make sure that you follow me. I share a little bit more insights and tips on my Instagram. So I'll be more than happy to connect in any sort of way that we can.